something which is true at every step along the way in our walk with the Lord. A need to have that basic recognition and the bold response and to rely on the bountiful resources. There are some verses of Scripture which seem to capsulize the whole of life for us. It seems like God just zeroes right in with certain verses and He makes a statement which covers everything. And those are very interesting statements that God makes. One of those is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So I hope you have your Bibles and you'll open with me because we want to come to it this morning and be attentive to what God would want to share with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. A statement which God makes about life which covers everything. And we want to explore some of the meaning of this verse of Scripture. It goes like this. You've heard it often, probably. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now that covers everything. That is a capsulized statement made by God which covers everything. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But what does it mean? And how do we do it? I think God gives us the answer to that. And to find that answer, let's turn back some pages in our Bible to John chapter 15. Because in John chapter 15, God tells us how we glorify Him. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What does it mean? Well, let's read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, and also verse 16, and you be paying attention while we read and see if you can pick up what it means to do everything to the glory of God. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 16, Jesus speaking, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whatever you do in word or deed, whether you're eating or drinking or whatever it is, do all to the glory of God. What does it mean? Did you pick it up? Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified. In this way is my Father glorified. Verse 8, that you bear much fruit. If eating and drinking and whatever we do, we're doing is going to be glorifying to God, it must be done in such a way that fruit is born in and through our lives. And this is a special kind of fruit, as Jesus spoke of in verse 16. It is fruit that will remain. It's lasting fruit. It's eternal fruit. That's how we glorify God, by bearing fruit that remains. Well, if that's the case then, how do we bear fruit that remains? If the key to glorifying God is fruit-bearing, then how do we bear fruit? Well, let's just come to this familiar passage of Scripture once again, and let's renew our minds, if we've already known, to the truth of how we bear fruit. First of all, in bearing fruit, we must submit to the Father's work. The Father's work. God the Father is doing something to make this pruning process a reality. And if we're going to bear fruit that remains, we must submit to the Father's work. And what is the Father's work? He's the gardener. He's the vine dresser. He's the one who prunes. We must submit to the pruning process if we're going to bear fruit that remains. Now notice in verses 1 and 2 there, it makes it very plain that the Father is the one who does it. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So there's several things to notice about the Father's part, this pruning process. One is to know for sure that it's the Father's part. It's His work. It's what He does. And by the way, when it comes to the thing of pruning, it's what God thinks that's important as far as what needs to be pruned. It's not what I think or what you think or the Jones think or your friends think about what should or shouldn't be in and a part of your life. It's what God thinks. It's what the Father thinks that's important. That's His part. We don't tell Him how to do His part. He takes care of it. Secondly, notice that He prunes every branch without exception. Did you notice that in verse 2? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. So it's not something that happens just with some of the branches. Every single branch in the vine comes under the pruning process of the Father. Without exception. I want you to notice another thing about this, and that is the tense of the verb prune. The tense of that verb. It's in the present continuous tense. That means it's something that goes on presently and continuously. That is, the Father is always doing His work. He is always pruning the branches. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, there's always something that the Father is working on in pruning. That's what it says. He prunes, and it's present continuous tense. It isn't something that is complete, and then He says, well, that one's pruned. We can forget about that one from now and forever. It's something that goes on all the time. And the person who is just come to Christ and is young in the Lord, there are things that the Father is working on in that person's life, pruning. We'll talk about some of the things that He prunes in a minute. A person who has walked with the Lord for 50 years, if they're truly walking with the Lord, they'll tell you the same thing. The Father's working on me. There's things that still He's pruning away in my life. See, it's a present continuous process. It's something that never ends. It keeps going on. He's completing a work which was begun at a certain point in time. Well, what does He prune away? Pruning. That's His part. It's the Father's part. And we must submit to the Father's part. What are the things that the Father prunes away from our lives? Well, in order to get into this a little bit, I've done a little talking to people who do pruning. Remember, I don't know how long ago it's been now, maybe a couple years ago, we had some fellows out here, hill country tree experts, because we were concerned about the loss of these live oak trees around here. And so we wanted them to come out and tell us what could be done, if anything. And after they told us what they had to say about that, I was just talking with them. I thought, well, I'll pick their brains a little bit here and see what I can find out. So I asked them, I said, well, how do you prune a tree? What are the things that you cut out of a tree? And the guy didn't hesitate. See, this was his job. He understood what his job was. And he says, oh, he said, well, the things we cut out are these three things. The dead, the diseased, or the dying. You see, if there's a dead branch, if there's something dead on a tree, and sometimes you'll see that, you'll see a nice live tree, but there's a dead branch there. All the other trees have leaves, and I mean branches have leaves, but there's one that just sort of hangs out there. And sometimes little offshoots of a branch that's dead. And when a pruner comes along, he prunes off all the dead things. Because those dead things are the avenue through which parasites and other things can come in, disease can come in and infect that whole tree and undermine the tree. So the dead things get cut off. Also, the diseased things get cut off. If there's anything that has obvious disease on it, they will cut away those diseased things. And then there's some things that, well, they seem to have some life, but it's part dead and part alive, and the pruners hack that away as well. And sometimes if you come by after an expert has done a tree over, you think, my land, how is that tree going to survive? Because there was so much there that was dead, diseased, and dying that when what is left, you think, my, is it going to make it? But that's what he said. He said, that's what we cut away. Now, those are the kinds of things that the Father cuts away from our lives. The dead things, the diseased things, the dying things. All those things that associate with our life apart from Christ. Those things which are not consistent with His Word and with His will and with His way. He cuts them away. And it's a process that goes on for the whole of our life because He's faithful. And what is His desire? Does He want to cut things away so that we will feel just the pain and know how to bear up under pain? No. What is the purpose for the pruning? You can have a branch that is already fruitful. And in the language of this metaphor, this would be a Christian who's walking with the Lord, bearing fruit. But what is the Father's desire? That branch become even more fruitful. That branch produce even more fruit that's going to last forever. That's the Father's desire. And so anything that would impede the producing of lasting, eternal fruit through that life, the Father says it's got to go. And He comes in and He snips it. And it's something He does presently, continuously, every day of our lives. The dead, the diseased, and the dying. Now there's some things that from all appearances don't appear to be dead, they don't appear to be diseased, they don't appear to be dying. There's another category of things that get cut out off of a branch. These are other little offshoot types of branches which those who are into pruning call suckers. Not a very nice word, I don't think they mind really, but that's what they're called, suckers. They're just little offshoots off of a branch here that are going to take vital nutrients from that particular branch. They're going to siphon those things off and they're not going to produce fruit. Those little sucker branches. In fact, they're going to take some of the nutrients right out of that branch that would have then gone to the main branch itself and would have resulted in a greater bearing of fruit. And those who prune trees call those things suckers. Now, I would like to liken those things to some of the good things in life that can consume our time, our resources, our energies, and they're good things. They don't appear to be dead. They don't appear to be diseased. They don't appear to be dying. They're good things. But you probably heard that statement, the good is the enemy of the best. And sometimes I think the enemy of our souls would like to get us so involved in a lot of good things, fun things, creative things. So involved in those things that the vital resources that God is making available to us are so consumed in those things that the eternal fruit which He wants to bear, produce in and through our lives, is limited. And so, as we grow in the Lord, we can expect the Father to continue His work. And there's some things in our lives which, for us as individual believers, as we grow in the Lord, where the Father's going to come along with His pruning shears. And there is something good. And somebody else might say, oh, hey, that's fine. It's fine for you to use your time that way. It's time for you to use your money that way. It's fine for you to use your resources that way. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But the Father is saying to you, that is a sucker. That is sapping off vital resources which I am making available to you for the producing of lasting fruit, and I want to cut it off or cut it back. You ever had the Father talk to you about things like that? Well, if you're sensitive and open to Him, He will. Because that's another thing. Another aspect of this whole thing of pruning. Suckers. Things which in and of themselves are good, but which take away vital resources that God has made available to us, and they do not produce lasting fruit. And since the Father's process, the whole thing the Father's wanting us to do is to bear fruit that is going to remain forever to His own glory and praise and to our own enjoyment and fulfillment, He'll come in with the pruners and He's going to snip off or cut back suckers. Things which are good in and of themselves, but which have become the enemy of the best. Now I understand also in this whole pruning process, especially as it relates to the vine, that there is another thing that gets pruned off. These are called runners. You know what runners are? Anybody know what the runners are on a vine? Well, you've got the main vine, you've got the branches coming off of the main vine, and these branches have a tendency to send out their own little runners out from themselves, down into the ground, and form another rootage. They're going to root themselves in the ground, the branches. They're going to have an independent rootage. They're not going to draw everything from the main vine. They're going to draw it from something that's independent of the main vine. And the vine dresser comes through and he cuts off all of those runners. Because they do not contribute to the bearing of the fruit. In fact, they foul it up. And so a good vine dresser will cut all of those runners right off. And I think that can be likened in our life to the points and the places in our life where we're seeking to draw our life from something other than the vine. Some kind of independent resource here for life that does not come out from the main vine. There are some people who look to relationships, human relationships. They say, oh, if only I had this special kind of relationship, I could sink my roots right down into that, draw my life up from it, and then I'd be fulfilled and complete. And it's not the truth. You have a root awakening coming, if you think that's the truth. Sometimes, especially this would be relevant to some of you here, I know probably not all of you because not everyone here is interested in marriage, but some of you as students here, you're looking forward to marriage, and that's great, and that might be something that comes right out of the vine to your life. And if it comes from the vine to you, that's great, it's fantastic, and it's going to be in line with God's whole fruit-bearing program. But some of you might get the idea that if only I had marriage, that in itself is going to complete and satisfy my life. I could draw my life from it. And so at this point in my life, I feel incomplete and unfulfilled. And if only I had that, then I would be complete and fulfilled. Now, it'd be, I think, an interesting exercise for you to just think about that. What are you presently thinking would take to complete and fulfill your life? The if only statements that we make to ourselves. If only I had this. If only I had that. Then I'd be complete. Then I'd be satisfied. Then I could rest. That's a denial of the truth. We're told very explicitly in the Word of God that In Jesus Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10 is, and you are complete in Him. He is our completion. But you see, we try to sink down our own roots in something else other than Him. The Father comes along and He says, no, it doesn't work. I want to prune that right off. Get that straight in your thinking. It's not that He's not going to bring a lot of these things to our lives. He will, but it's going to come out of our union with the vine. It's not going to become because we sink our own roots. And we put all of our hopes in that. No, we have all of our life drawn from the vine Himself. And we put our hopes in that. The Father loves us enough to come by and He prunes it. And He prunes it again. And we keep saying, no, I'm going to sink my roots here. And He prunes it. And He keeps pruning it. Finally, we say, wow, this isn't working. And maybe we listen up to what He's saying in His Word. Well, it may not be relationships. It might be something like professions or careers. Success. Boy, I want to make a name for myself. And when I get that name, oh, of course, it's going to be to the glory of God. I'll throw that one in. I mean, it's going to be for You, Lord. But when I get there, when I get these things out of the way and I'm settled and I'm established and I got the bucks and I got the house and the kids and the wife and the boat and the lake cabin, these other things, then I'm going to be complete. I'm going to draw my life right up from these things. And God comes along in His grace and He prunes it. If we submit to the pruning process, He helps us to see. That's, you have to die to that. He may add all of those things to you. They may come in free flow from the vine. But when we make those things in and of themselves a source for drawing life from, satisfaction from, fulfillment from, then it militates against the bearing of fruit that's going to last forever. And the Father will endeavor to prune that in our lives. That's His part. That's what He does. We are complete in Christ. So, that's what the Father's doing. Notice the instrument that He uses in the pruning process in verse 3. You're already clean. That word clean there actually is the adjective form of the verb prune. So what He's saying here is that you've been pruned. He's talking to His disciples here, and they are believers in Him. There has been a pruning that's already taken place in their life. And He says, you've already been pruned. Now, don't think it's going to end, because the pruning process is going to go on for your lifetime. And the more you grow in the Lord, the more sensitive you're going to be to the Spirit. And there'll be things He'll shed His light on that in earlier days, it was too much for you to bear. You just said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not going to let that go. But as you grow in the Lord and grow in His grace and the knowledge of Him, there are things that continuously happen. But what does He do? What does He use as the instrument for pruning? Verse 3. This is the pruning shear that He uses. He says, you are pruned because of the Word which I have spoken to you. God takes the Word of God. That's why it's so important for us as Christians if we want to live to the glory of God. That's why we have to live in the Word of God and let the Word of God live in us. Because God the Father, by His Spirit, will take the Word of God and prune your life. Have you had that experience? Scripture tells us that the Word of God is sharp. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets right down. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It divides asunder the soul and the spirit. That's the Word of God. And God will take His Word and He'll use it in our life if we submit ourselves to Him and to the pruning process. That means when we come to the Word of God, we come with a serious heart. That is, we recognize what God does with His Word. And we submit to it. Now, I think if you could talk to a branch, sometimes a branch would say, oh, please don't take that sucker. That's become a part of me. But a faithful vine dresser, a faithful gardener will come right through and say, it's for your best. I'm going to have to snip that off. Sometimes that's true in our lives as well. We hang on to these suckers and these runners. But God loves us enough. We're living in the Word. He keeps putting the snips right to it. That's the instrument, is the Word of God. And again, keep in mind His purpose. His purpose. He's not out to make us miserable. He's not out to take anything from our lives. That is the lie of the ages. It started in the Garden of Eden. It runs all the way to the present time. That if you really sell out completely to God, He's going to make you miserable. He's going to take all the good things out of life. And He's going to leave you with a drab, dried up existence, which is the exact opposite of what the truth is. What is His purpose in this whole process? That you might bear fruit. And more fruit, and much fruit, to His own glory, and to your great fulfillment. Because what is it anyway? To live a life, people are born, they live, and they die. They have kids, and two generations later, nobody even remembers them. I don't know anything about my great-grandfather. I don't even know his name. I know nothing about him. So what that he lived and he died? And if the Lord tarries a couple generations down the road, so what if I lived and I died? Well, here's so what. God has an eternal plan that He's working out. And He has caught us up in it. And through the course of this time that we have, however long or however short it is, we can actually bear fruit that will last forever. And that brings glory to God. Because He's the one who does it. That's His purpose. So let me ask you here. Can I ask you a personal question? I hope it's all right. If it's not, I'll ask you anyway. What's the Father been talking with you about? What has He been saying to you? You know, the still small voice. What is He endeavoring to prune away from your life? There's something that immediately comes to my mind, which I'm not going to express here, because this is something the Father is talking to me about. And it may not be something He's talking to you about right now. But I can guarantee you one thing. He's talking to you about something. Because He does it present, continuous, all the way through our lives. And as we come to the Word of God, even this week, and the Lord's going to be sharing His Word with us, I want to encourage us, myself included, not to come in here and sort of put ourselves in overdrive, figure we've heard all this stuff before. Say, well, I've heard that before, I've heard that before, I've heard that before. So what? Big deal. It doesn't matter what we've heard before. It's what we're doing with what we've heard. It's the heart response. And it's something that not only begins today, it's something every day that's necessary. We ought to just revel and be enjoying the fact that we're sitting under the sound of the Word of God and we've got it open in front of us. And submit to what God is saying to us. And if it's something you've already submitted to, you just reaffirm right in the present moment. Yes, Lord. Basic recognition. Bold response. And bountiful resources for my life. You renew yourself right in the present. That leaves the Father free. But I think He'll be saying some things to us too, where He said, I've been talking to you about this. That's a sucker. That's a runner in your life. It's sapping off vital resources that are not going to amount to a hill of beans and that will not last. And maybe others can at this point in life. This has nothing to do with you and other people. Don't start comparing yourself with the other branches. Well, look at that. That branch got to keep his sucker. No. He says, this is something between me and you. And I'm going to trim this away because it's taking away valuable resources, time, energy, resources that I want invested for your life right now, at this point in your life, and something else that's going to bear eternal fruit. What's he talking to you about? As I say, I know he's talking to me about something. And I'm saying, all right, Lord, I submit to this. I recognize this needs to be cut back in my life because it's not producing anything. Oh, there's 100 rationalizations for it. Others may. But I recognize, Lord, you're talking to me about it. And I submit to what you're saying here. Well, that's the first thing in this whole thing of bearing fruit. Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. If you're going to bear much fruit, you have to continuously submit to the pruning process. It doesn't matter how immature or mature you are, how long you've been in the Lord, it's something the Father will be working on us our whole life. Because the more we mature, the more we grow, the more sensitive we are. And the finer His refinements come in the whole pruning process. That's His part. And He's very faithful in fulfilling His part as we submit to Him. Now, secondly, in this whole matter of living to the glory of God, which means that we bear fruit that remains. From this passage, we see that we must always continuously remember who the vine is and what his part is. Who the vine is and what his part is. Who is the vine? Jesus. Jesus Christ himself. He is the vine. He is the trunk. He's the main vine. We're all his branches connected into him. He said, I am the true vine. Notice the definite article, the vine. Not one of many vines, not one of many places for a person to draw their life from, not one of many ways in which a person can produce lasting fruit. I am the vine. Only one definite article. And the true vine. True, that means genuine, as opposed to all false things. That's what Jesus said. I heard it stated one time that Jesus' teaching was terribly self-centered. And it really was, because he just happens to be everything he claims to be. He didn't say, there's a vine, there's another vine. Plug in over there. Plug in over here. Try this, try that. No, he says, I am the true vine. And so that's who he is. For centuries, Israel had been pictured as the vine of Jehovah. But Israel failed. Israel became a strange vine unto God because of the kind of fruit that came through their lives. And now Jesus comes on the scene and he says, I am the true vine. You must be grafted in to me. Well, what does a vine do for its branches? We know who the vine is, and now what his part is. What does a vine do? What does the main trunk do for its branches? Well, very simply, the vine is the source of everything that the branch needs for bearing fruit. The life of the entire plant proceeds from the vine to all the branches. All of the sustaining food and nutrients and water comes up and through the vine to the branches. And again, that simply reiterates what we've already said in another way. Our life is complete in him. Scripture says that he is our life, Colossians chapter 3. He is our life. Not he gives us life as something apart from himself. You know, a little package of life. Jesus is going to give you a little package of life today. Sort of, no. Colossians chapter 3 there, Paul is writing, inspired by the Spirit. He says that we are to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Then he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. He is our very life. You see, when you take the vine and the branch, that's exactly what happens. The life of the vine actually becomes the life of the branch. There's not two distinct lives there. The life becomes the life of the branch. Everything that is needed to bear fruit comes from the vine to the branches. Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We hear this expressed often around here, but I hope that even though we hear it expressed often, it does not become something that's trite to us. And that is that he gave his life for us. That's justification. That's reconciliation with God in order that he might give his life to us. What was the cross all about? Cleansing us out so that he himself might come to live within us forever and to be our very life. Now that's his part, to provide everything that's needed in the whole process of bearing fruit and therefore bringing glory to God. Any plus sign that you place after Christ constitutes an area of idolatry in your life. Oh, I have Christ, but I need this and I need that. Well, if you need this or you need that, you can trust in one thing. Christ is going to provide it and he's going to supply it because he is the life of the branch. You need look nowhere else but to him. Now, that's the truth of the gospel. We are complete in him. And in his time and in his way, he will provide exactly what is needed. In fact, whether you believe it or not, right now in your life, he's giving you exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. Isn't that nice to know? I'm getting exactly what I need. And yet, you know, sometimes what we hear people say, well, I'll tell you, I sure didn't need that today.
Boy, I didn't need that one. I didn't need that at all. This has been a real bummer. When in actual fact, you did need that. Oh, you didn't need it perhaps for your own personal comfort or enjoyment, but what you're getting today is exactly what you need in order to live to the glory of God. Because there's no problem with the vine. He provides everything that's needed. And He does that consistently to the vine. And in the course of time, He will add to your life exactly what needs to be added. Nothing more, nothing less. Praise the Lord, huh? That's good. You see, that's His part. And He'll do His part if we let Him. But when we put plus signs after Christ, oh, if I only had this, if I only had that, that constitutes the area of idolatry in our life. We get back to the runner there. That's something else I need in order to get my life filled up. And it's a lie. It won't fill it up anyway. It doesn't work. Because, you see, that's the function of the vine, to provide everything that's needed. Now, if that's the function of the vine, how do we appropriate, then, that which He provides? And that brings us then to know what the branch is to do. That is to know our part and then continuously do it. Do our part. You don't have to worry about taking care of the Father's part. He'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about Jesus' part. He's going to take care of that. But what we need to know is what our part is and then do it continuously. So what is our part? Well, there's really only one thing that we need to be concerned about, according to this passage of Scripture, which was uttered from the lips of our Lord Jesus Himself. And it's all indicated in this one verb, abide. Abide in Me. Did you notice how He says it? Abide in Me and I in you, verse 4. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him, he bears much fruit. It's automatic. It happens. And then notice He says, for apart from Me, you can do and do and do and do what? Nothing. That's N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Zip. Nothing. Oh, you can do a lot of interesting things. You could build a business apart from Christ. The pagans are doing that all over the place. You can get married apart from Christ. The pagans are doing that all over the place. But you can do nothing in terms of bearing fruit that will remain forever apart from an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And it's amazing how many of our days we can spend doing what, from God's point of view, amounts to exactly that. Nothing. I am ashamed to say, really, when I think of it, even now as a Christian, the number of my days that add up to, from God's point of view, nothing. Because I am not abiding in the vine. Now, praise the Lord. He's gracious. He's forgiving. He cleanses us. When we recognize this, we can come to Him and get back into that relationship. But that's the key. It isn't complicated. Now, it runs across our nature, what we would be in and of ourselves, because we're so prone to be independent. And yet, this is what our part is. Notice again, this is in the present continuous tense. So while the Father is doing His work of pruning in the present continuous tense, we are to be doing our part, which is abiding in Christ. Present, continuously, always. Now let me ask you this morning, right now where we sit, where I stand, are we abiding? Or we just get up this morning, get on our trousers, think, okay, well, what do we got to do today? Let's make the list. And we get up and we serve the list instead of start responding to the Lord, who is the vine. Well, that's a mistake, because what's going to happen is we're going to do a lot of interesting things in the course of the day, but it's going to amount to nothing from God's point of view. Well, what does it mean to abide? The Amplified Bible translates it this way. I think it's the Amplified Bible. This means to maintain a living communion, a living fellowship with Christ that is conscious of who He is, God Himself. Where He is, living within me. He is my life. And of our total dependence on Him for everything.
That is abiding. Maintaining a living communion, a living fellowship, a consciousness of who He is, where He is, and of our total dependence on Him for everything, for the sustaining of life. Notice that it's an imperative. This verb, abide, is in the imperative mood. That's a nice linguistic term for it being a command. It's not even a suggestion. Jesus doesn't say, now here's a suggestion for you. Try this one out. Try abiding in me for a while and see if it works. Isn't it nice that He doesn't just give us suggestions? Try this, try that. Like the pins, you know, that some people used to wear. Try Jesus. Oh. Now, He doesn't say, try Jesus. He says, submit to me. Abide in me. And you will bring forth fruit. And it will be fruit that will last forever and ever and ever. That's our part. Maintain a living communion and fellowship with Him. It's an imperative because it's a practical must. That is because God has so structured life that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do and do and do nothing. And we don't want to spend our time and our lives doing nothing. So it's a practical must. That is what's behind the imperative that we abide. Because it's the only way our lives can be what God wants them to be. Then we're going to bear fruit that will remain. And it will be to the glory of God. Because He is the one who provides everything. We simply bear it, bear the fruit. Now, if any of you have been involved in working with trees or vines or whatever, you can testify to this. If you go out in the middle of an orchard and you listen real carefully, you'll hear some very interesting sounds. You have to have ears that are tuned to this. But it's something like this. Now, any experienced orchardist will tell you what that is. What is that? That is the branches striving to produce fruit. Right? Any of you that have had that experience? Huh? You haven't heard it? Oh, you're laughing. It's right. It is laughable. No. Obviously, that doesn't happen. What does a branch have to do in order to bear fruit? It just must be vitally connected to the main trunk, to the vine. And that's what Jesus said. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Boom. Just pops down. Bears fruit. If you maintain a living communion and fellowship with me. You know why that is? Because if you're maintaining a living communion and fellowship with Christ, as you bump and rub shoulders with other people, what do you suppose you're going to be sharing with other people? Christ. If He is your life and you're conscious of who He is and where He is, and you're maintaining a continuous fellowship and openness in your heart with Him, as you move through life, that's what's going to come out. Somebody says you can't tell what's in a jar until it's upset. You could have vinegar in one jar and honey in another, and just looking at them setting up, you wouldn't really know which was which, but you get either one of them turned over, and then you find out what's inside. As we go through the life and there's press on us, what is inside is going to come out. And if we're maintaining that kind of relationship with Christ, recognizing who He is, where He is, and of our total dependence on Him, as we feel the press in a variety of situations, we have Him to share with others. It's not by self-effort. It's not by groaning and by grunting. It's not by trying harder to produce the fruit. It's by concentrating on Christ Himself and our fellowship with Him and glorifying Him and worshiping Him and being attentive to Him and to His Word. And as we are doing that, He is free to so work in and through our lives that He bears fruit. Now, what is this fruit, just quickly in closing? What is this fruit that's mentioned here? Well, as you think of fruit in the Scripture, it's used in two different ways. What is a verse of Scripture that would immediately come to mind? I'm going to have you respond to this just to make sure you're awake.
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, is it 5:22? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all those things that are mentioned there. The fruit, that is that which the vine is going to be producing in and through our life, is really the character of Jesus Himself. Love. Anybody due for a little love today? In and through your life? That's what He's going to be producing. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And He wants that fruit then to be born in our life. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, this world in which we live, this country in which we live, has never had more trained Bible teachers and lots of Bible conferences and things like that, but there are so many people that are still starved for love. And as we abide in the vine, we can expect He's going to produce love in our lives. And all those other things, love, joy. Anybody do with a little joy today? Peace? Well, how are you going to get it? Go out and try to trump it up? Get the cheerleaders out? Rah, rah, let's get happy. Come on, joy. Now He says, abide in the vine and you're going to bear fruit. Maintain a living communion and fellowship with Me and I will produce joy in your life. And the other things that are mentioned as well.